It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Leaders of the nation's largest labor unions for railroad workers are threatening a strike as negotiations have broken down over a new labor agreement. Earlier this fall, the White House helped broker a tentative agreement between rail companies and unions, but some of the represented unions rejected that deal. Today, the U.S. House passed legislation to try and avoid a strike by forcing the unions to agree to that tentative deal from September with a couple added concessions. It would make a potential strike effectively illegal. Labor advocates, some of them say the move tarnishes President Biden's reputation as pro-union. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said yesterday a strike would be too harmful to the supply chain and broader economy.
I don't like going against the ability of unions to strike, but weighing the equities, we must avoid a strike. Jobs will be lost, even union jobs will be lost. Water will not be safe. Product will not be going to market. It is, we could lose 750,000 jobs, some of them union jobs. That must be avoided.
We're digging into some of the causes of the labor dispute and what's at stake. Tanya Snyder is a transportation reporter for Politico who has been covering the negotiations. Tanya, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
People may have been seeing these headlines. I want to take it a step at a time here. First of all, what are some of the core disagreements between the unions representing these railroad workers and management?
The major one is paid sick leave. The railroads do offer some version of paid time off and sick time, but it's not really in a format that you or I would recognize as paid sick leave. Workers can, if they need to take off without notice because they woke up sick, they had an accident, their kid is sick, they need to go to a doctor, something like that. They can not only be have that time be unpaid, but they can actually get disciplined for missing work. So that's something that the unions and workers had really wanted to address, and the railroads just wouldn't budge.
And let's talk about the stakes for the country as a whole. A lot of stuff moves by rail. If that gets shut down by a strike, what are some of the consequences?
Some of the immediate consequences that we could feel even before a strike happens, if the railroads believe a strike could happen and start bracing for one, water treatment chemicals almost always move by rail. Chlorine almost always moves by rail and would not be able to get to water treatment plants. So consumers could see boil water advisories. And that could happen, you know, soon. The agricultural community is very upset about this. They could, you know, farmers could not be able to get grain to feed their animals. There were shipping problems a few months ago, and there were farmers who were saying that they might have to kill thousands of chickens because they just don't have the feed for them. We could see a situation like that. Energy prices could go up. Ethanol is almost always transported by rail. A component of diesel fuel also almost always goes by rail. So there are so many wide-reaching impacts that could start really soon. Most of the holiday gifts are already on the shelves, but retailers warn that they're constantly moving around at holiday time. So that could also be a snarl in the supply chain.
So we have the White House stepping in earlier this fall, coming to a tentative agreement, but there are multiple railroad unions. Some were in, some were not. So where does that stand?
That's right. So there are 12 unions. It's a very strange process. All of the railroads and all of the unions negotiate their collective bargaining agreements all at once, all together. I can't think of another industry that works this way. So the federal government has had to step in because they've been at this for years and haven't been able to come to an agreement. Finally, they came to a tentative agreement, and each union has a slightly different contract, but they're based on the same set of recommendations that were made by some federal arbitrators over the summer. So 8 of the 12 unions accepted this tentative agreement, and 4 of them rejected it, including the largest of the rail unions.
Okay, now here comes Congress. And apparently there's a special federal law that says in the event of a potential railroad strike, Congress has the authority to step in?
Yeah, labor law just does not apply to railroads the way it applies to everybody else. And this Railway Labor Act from 1926 says that Congress can step in to and intervene if it looks like there could be some sort of work shutdown on the railroads. And that has happened 18 times in the past, and this is the 19th.
We are talking about a potential railroad strike action in Congress. Tanya Snyder is with us from Politico, transportation reporter there. Okay, we're up to today's news now, Tanya. The House did something. It looks like Congress is moving fast. What happened today in the U.S. House on this?
Yeah, so Congress voted today to pass two bills. They're two separate bills. And this is something that Nancy Pelosi came up with last night. The Democrats clearly could not have a railroad strike on their watch. That would just paralyze the economy and the supply chain. But they also just could not stomach enforcing a contract that workers had rejected because they didn't have some of the basic worker protections that most of us just assume we're entitled to, like paid sick leave. So what they decided to do was pass two bills, one that would just enforce the contract that workers had rejected and say, this is your contract, whether you like it or not. And then another that would say, but here are seven paid sick days on top of what the what was agreed to in the contract. So Democrats could have their vote and say, we voted for paid sick leave, but also just make sure that a strike wouldn't happen.
So that big one, the main one, the enforcement one, got a fair amount of Republican support, not a majority, but a solid majority in the House overall. Party line vote on that sick leave one you mentioned. So now it's got to go to the Senate, right?
Right. And we have not been able to get a straight answer from senators about what their plan is. I don't think that they quite have a plan yet. We know that the Senate senators leave town on Thursdays. They don't work a full week in Washington, so they're planning to leave tomorrow. And they don't yet have a schedule. And as you know, in the Senate, things can move slower than in the House. So it could take several days for something to happen. Now, the strike deadline is December 9th, but the railroads start shutting down certain services several days in advance of a possible strike, because there are certain goods that they don't want to be stranded in the middle of the country if a strike were to happen. So that's those kind of volatile, sensitive goods, certain chemicals, chlorine for water treatment, ammonia for fertilizer, things like that. So those are impacts that we could see as soon as Monday. And you're right, it doesn't look like the Senate is going to act in time for those impacts to be avoided. Another impact is passenger rail and even commuter rail. Those railroads are in many cases owned by the freight railroads that passenger and commuter rail rides on. So long distance passenger rail could also be affected next week.
Let's bring on a caller. Randy is with us in La Crosse. Randy, hi.
Hi. What you guys are talking about is, you said, and of course the senators don't work a full week, but they're asking the rail workers to work full time 30 days a month. And it's just funny that we don't seem to ever ask the funders of our campaigns and the guys who own everything on the planet to ever give up a nickel of their profits. Oh, no, no. If we have to punish somebody or somebody has to take a hit, it's the workers.
Randy, thanks for the call. Tanya, some Democrats are feeling like Randy is, that the pressure, the hit is going to the workers and not the rail line owners.
Well, for the last several years, the railroads have been cutting their budgets, trying to cut costs, cutting staff. They've cut their staff down by about a third in the last 6 or 7 years, just in an effort to cut costs. And this is not because they're not making profits. They're making record profits. But they are, and what Democrats would say is that they're listening to their shareholders on Wall Street and not the people who rely on their services, and certainly not their workers. So workers have been working harder, longer hours, and haven't gotten a raise in several years. Now, there would be a substantial raise in this contract, but what they're fighting for is the quality of life issues, not being on call all the time, not having to work inhumane hours, and not having and being able to take a sick day when you need it.
What, as we wrap up, Tanya, are you watching for next?
Well, we're looking to see what the Senate's going to do. That's really the wild card here. And like I said, you know, I was in the halls of the Capitol today running after senators and asking them what their plans are, and they just don't seem to have a plan yet. So we are looking to see when that plan begins to crystallize and if it's going to be in time for some of these early impacts to be avoided. Now, I do believe that they are going to manage to avoid an all-out shutdown of the railroads, but some of those early impacts could be felt, and they could be significant.
Tanya, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Tanya Snyder is a transportation reporter for Politico, with us today to talk about the latest developments on a potential labor strike among rail workers' unions. Action in the U.S. House today, passing a bill that effectively blocks a strike, waiting to see what the Senate does next.